So what if instead of focusing on trying to figure out alcohol, you tried to figure out yourself? You learned how to do all of the things that you think alcohol is doing for you, but better. You tapped into really understanding what the messages from your body meant and how to use your emotions to your advantage and how to really expand your desires to get what it is you finally really want and have real, lasting, sustainable pleasure. That is possible for you, and it is all available to you in the self-study course, The Naturally Sober Woman. It is everything that I teach my one-on-one clients, but it is compact for you. Lifetime access on demand at a super affordable price available to you right now. You're going to go to my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. Right there, it'll say self-study course, or follow the link in the show notes right here. Get in there. One short video, just the welcome ceremony. There's a beautiful commencement ceremony that really anchors you into your intention for wanting to make this change into your life, will change your life forever. It'll put you on a trajectory of new possibility, because the bigger your desire is, the easier it's going to be to say goodbye to alcohol. So go on over to my website, get inside of The Naturally Sober Woman, and I will see you in there.
Welcome, welcome. My name is Mary Wagstaff. I am a life coach who ended a 20-year relationship with alcohol without labels, counting days, or ever making excuses. In this podcast, we will explore my revolutionary approach to quitting alcohol that breaks all the rules, amazing stories from women who are throwing a better party because of it, and how you can stop drinking and start living. This show is not a substitute for rehabilitation, medical treatment, or advice, so please talk to a health professional if your alcohol consumption is a risk to your mental or physical health. Now on with the show.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for being here for another episode of Stop Drinking and Start Living. I am Mary Wagstaff, a holistic alcohol coach, and I just wanted to say, if you're coming back again, thank you. This podcast would not be possible without the listeners on the other end of it, and I'm really excited because today's episode, how to interrupt a craving, is really going to build on last week. And the next two episodes are really going to give you all of the kind of intro tools that you need to be really successful on starting to examine your relationship with alcohol. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. And I wanted to say and ask you how you guys are doing, and, you know, really allowing yourself this opportunity to ask yourself that question: how am I doing, and how could I better be supporting myself during this time of so much transition, and even potentially transitioning your life away from a new possibility of what you of life from what you thought and how you have, you know, believed that alcohol had to be such an integral part of that, but you're now starting to see that, you know, the results that you were getting that were maybe okay aren't really going to get you to that next level goal, and that you're just not sure how to get there. But you found the podcast, and so you know that there is another way. And we've just never really been taught in our culture and in school and stuff about that place of the witness, about how to really reassess old patterning, old belief systems, step into deciding on purpose from that part of the brain that makes us human, that the consciousness, the prefrontal cortex that can plan, that is why you're here, because you no longer desire to drink, and how that is also the solution for starting to become aware of the subconscious mind, so that when you're having that nightly drama of, I said I wasn't going to drink, but I really want to, because your lower brain has a habit, and it's efficient, and it wants the pleasure, and it thinks that that is a good thing. It thinks that what alcohol is giving it is a really good thing. So it just doesn't know the difference and it doesn't equate the detriment to it. But your other part of your brain does. Now, instead of arguing back and forth, you have to take authority and agency over the subconscious. And so what so many attempts at quitting drinking do is they just use resistance and willpower, and you're never gaining agency over your subconscious mind. And so this approach is that we look at everything very objectively, because you haven't really ever seen it before. You haven't brought those, that what's in the subconscious conscious to the prefrontal cortex. So this is your opportunity to do that. And it's also your opportunity to do that literally with everything else in your life. So I just wanted to start this episode by talking a little bit about the witness consciousness. So this is part of my five shifts approach that I use with my clients. But I have had many questions before about, I'm not really sure if I know what the witness is, if I really understand what it is. And so in kind of a short summary, this is the part of our brains that are able to think about thinking. It is the part of your brain that can future focus and plan into possibility. It is the part of your brain that can step into a place of deciding not what other people are saying, but diving into your own intuition, which is our innate wisdom. That is why you're here listening right now, because you've had this calling of something more, of something better, of something higher, and you know alcohol is no longer the solution. So I'll give you a really quick little exercise for how to tune into this witness consciousness. And the witness consciousness is always neutral. It's not good. It's not bad. It's watching. It's like watching a movie for the first time. It's like seeing yourself outside of yourself. So something that I do with my yoga students in particular, because we're in doing an embodiment practice, and I do guide my one-on-one coaching clients through as well, is you soften your eyes and you take a couple of deep breaths, and then you perceive the room around you. So from your first person perspective with your eyes closed, you tune into the space around you. If there is a desk or a window, a door, the ground, the lights, maybe some decoration. So you can see these things in the mind's eye without actually seeing them with your physical eye, because we have other senses. And then we have this sixth sense that is the ability to perceive inside of the intuition. Now that can be developed in amazing, amazing ways. But for our purposes, now you can pull that perspective out and become the third party. So now you're like a little drone that is remote viewing yourself. So you now, even with your eyes closed, you look at your own face, you see your own body, and then you zoom this drone around and you notice the front, the back, the side, the bottom, underneath, above. And then you can even just simply view yourself breathing from a third party. You can even see yourself sitting in relationship to those things in which you were just perceiving beforehand. And this is a real somatic embodiment tool of the witness, but this is the same place where you're going to stop, and that place where the trigger, desire, craving happens simultaneously all at once, and before you know it, you're having a drink. This is where this is the part of the brain that gets to look piece by piece by piece by piece. It's also the part of the brain like that gets to future focus on the big why. What would the person What would the version of myself, the woman who no longer needs alcohol to do X, to show up at a party, to be confident, to relax, to have a relationship with her family without alcohol, how would she handle this situation? And then you start to believe on purpose. You start to create your life from a future focus of possibility. And that's kind of a little bit more in-depth one-on-one work, but that's the place. So that's the witness, is this non-judgmental, no wonder I was feeling this way. Look at the thoughts that I was thinking. What was the trigger that really cued this emotional response from me? What are the sensations of that emotion? And then you become very curious about the entire process. So today I'm going to teach you 4 essential steps for how to move through a craving for alcohol with grace, compassion, and growing awareness of your relationship. So like I was saying, when we bring the subconscious, the unconscious mind to the conscious mind, just by saying it, just by being honest with ourselves, it begins to lose its power. We awaken that which we have been avoiding, right? We kind of don't, even using the word craving could be a trigger for people. I don't have cravings for alcohol. And, you know, until you can kind of admit there is an emotional dependency, then it's going to be really hard to look at it. But you're listening to this podcast, so whether or not you want to tell anyone else that, you know that from yourself firsthand. And briefly, I just wanted to say, there's a couple of pieces besides just your ability to witness yourself that do come into play, because there is this outer world that has continuously said to us that if you can't handle, if you become dependent on alcohol in any way, something is wrong with you. Now, I think that that's a totally normal process of any healthy functioning brain, would be to become, depending on frequency and duration, and the triggers in your life and whether or not triggers stay consistent and so on. It's a completely normal thing to form a habit to alcohol. Now, the reason that that habit becomes more of an addiction or a dependency, and you have then that craving, that physical response, is because not just like a habit of brushing your teeth at night, but this particular habit gives you a very concentrated reward, more concentrated than is normal for human consumption. We're not made to have these big bursts of this crazy dopamine. It's just not, we can't find balance with it. Now, not to say that it's wrong, it's just not going to be sustainable. And then now, as you see, you're having negative results from it. But most of the things in your outer world are telling you otherwise. And, you know, it's being marketed to you as the solution to your problems rather than the cause of your problems, right? And so you can't solve the problem of alcohol with alcohol. It just doesn't work that way. And as much as at the beginning you kind of want to, and you don't want it to be the way, the alcohol just isn't the way anymore, you eventually come to, have to just kind of admit the fact that it's just not that, right? So decide on whatever word you want. I'm going to use cravings for our purposes today, but you can decide it's an urge, it's a pull, an impulse. There is, words are spells, but they're only as powerful as what we make them mean. Right? So you can say craving is a bad thing, but craving is simply just a strong desire for something. And now it's not used like that necessarily in our world, but that is all that it is. So you can make it what you want to make it. But saying it without the implied meaning of something negative is going to give you power. So words are spells, but the power, the intention behind them, that's your choice. That's up to you. So you can look at your urges for alcohol with curiosity to empower yourself, to decide to change, or you can create a story that a habit you have formed must mean you're a terrible person, or whatever you think you make it mean. And now last week you made the vow that you weren't going to ever beat yourself up again for alcohol. And so sticking with that, you're just going to step into this place of curiosity and knowing something's got to give. There's got to be a different way. So I'm just going to try this approach. To interrupt a craving, specifically when you are trying to control drinking and when you have that overwhelming urge to drink, this is going to be the tool. Now, there's going to be circumstances where you normally drink that aren't stress triggers necessarily, and then there might be that added stressor that comes in, especially during this time where we're seeing things that we wouldn't normally have to deal with come in. What you may have done in the past and why it hasn't been successful is that you are simply trying to express some sort of resistance to the urge through substitution, through denial, through avoidance, through distraction. And for our purposes, you are not going to do any of that. You're going to be with this craving 100% to experience it from a neutral perspective. I did an episode on, it was called The Only Reason That You Drink and How to Stop. And it was all about emotional intimacy, how to process an emotion from a really positive way through the process of compassion, allowing, observation, non-judgment, and validation. That's the biggest piece. That's a big piece that a lot of people miss, is validating your own emotions. It's okay that I feel this way. I totally understand why you feel this way. Just the feeling alone, not, but you don't need to act, but this, but that. Just the feeling. You're just going to be with the feeling, because we're not trying to solve for the feeling of why you're drinking to go away. That's there for a reason, right? But when you resist it or you avoid it by replacing it with something else, you're never able to give yourself that gift of full presence. Now, think about someone coming to you crying and you just put up your hand and say, you know what? I just don't have time for this right now. You need to go find something else to do. Now, we may have done that, and that's okay, because maybe you didn't have time and there's boundaries and there's reasons. But I think about my son, if he came to me crying, or my partner, and was really just needing support, would I turn him away? But we do that to ourselves so much. No, I would give him a big hug and say, hey, what's going on? And tell him, you know, like, it's totally okay that you feel like this. I understand. And so that's what I want you to do with yourself through this process. So we have a trigger, which is the circumstance, the desire, which is usually our thought, a drink sounds great, and then the craving, which is usually the emotion and the feeling, and then we drink or we avoid or we, you know, substitute. And the reason substitution is not a permanent solution is because usually that thing that you're substituting with is something else to make you feel better. And like I said, you're just never getting to the root of the problem. So you don't want to go smoke pot instead of drinking. You don't want to eat ice cream instead of drinking. That's not our purpose. That's not what we do here. And with this process, you won't need to do that. So become aware of the triggers. What are the normal times you drink that your brain will experience that reward? And I want you to do this ahead of time. So this is the first step. Now you might have a trigger that is unforeseen, but you can still use the same process. So what are the normal times or circumstances that you would drink? Around what people? A lot of times it's kind of in that liminal space of transition. So going from one thing to the next, getting on the phone with someone maybe, or, you know, ending work, or your children come home, or you're going to a place. Like any time where we had a, you know, you were in a process of thinking, say at work, but now you're switching and you're doing something different. So there's like the mind has all this time to kind of be in thought process mode. But what I want you to do is this: instead of what am I drinking, you're just going to start thinking about your thoughts. You're going to start to notice your thoughts. Step two, get curious. What is the thought? Why are you desiring it? And so it might be something as simple as, ooh, a drink sounds good. Oh, it's 5 o'clock, time for a drink. My kids are stressing me out. Get out my grill. That's what I've been telling them lately. You're up in my grill. You know, you're driving me to drink. I remember saying that. You know, there could be many, many, many reasons. All thoughts, none of them factual. Because even if there is a fact, there's a thought that's creating that feeling, right? So even if there's a circumstance that it's raining outside, this sucks, I'm going to have a drink, right? So you're not drinking just because of the circumstance. You're drinking because of your thought about it that's creating a feeling. So get curious about what the specific thought is. And like I said, it could just be really simple. Then step three is, what is the emotion? What is that craving? Now, craving is an emotion itself, but I want you to get even more specific. So are you bored? Are you sad? Are you frustrated? Are you anxious? And you might not know right away, because if it's something you do at the same time every day, you're not going to be quite sure. So you're going to ask yourself, how would I feel if I didn't have this drink? Now, if it's something that's seemingly positive, like maybe you're excited because you're going to go celebrate with someone, but what if you didn't have that drink? How would you feel? Maybe a little self-conscious, a little bored, not sure what to do. You know, whatever that is, you're going to look a little bit deeper and ask yourself that question. If I didn't have this drink right now, how would I feel in this situation? Not that I would be having an urge and be frustrated, but like in this situation, how would I feel? Or is it boredom? You really want to get clear about what emotion you're not allowing yourself to experience, because processing it helps you come on the other side of it. And then what is the feeling? Now, this is where you pause. This is where you get some room in between you and that strong craving, that if you just go back and forth and have the conversation with your brain to drink, to not drink, to drink, to not drink, well, you've already taken it off the table. You know how to fail forward, but right now you're not drinking. You've decided, I'm not going to drink. I'm going to do this experiment, like Mary said. And so what is this feeling? For me, I used to almost kind of like, you know, you think about the bell and the dog. I used to have seriously like salivation. My tongue would get very kind of swollen and full when I would think about certain situations of drinking. You might get tense. You might have an increased heart rate. Maybe you're a little anxious. Whatever that is, I want you to feel it deeper in your body. So that anxiousness, is that tingling? Is that heat? Is that cool? Is it flush? Is it in your right knee? Is it in your left shoulder? Where specifically is this emotion? And name three sensations that are happening in your body. Not emotions, not feeling, not emotions, but the sensation, the feeling in the body. And then you're going to offer yourself compassion. So you can go back, and I'll put this in the show notes, to go back and listen to that episode and decide from that emotional intimacy place if it's a really big trigger and it's something that you're feeling very vulnerable about. And, you know, if you're very upset, you can go through and process this emotion. But for just an everyday normal trigger, this is the process. So we're going to grow through grace. Okay. This is the fourth step, growing through grace. And when you think about grace, when I think about grace, it's kind of this floating, right? It's this stepping out with my heart open and my head held high and just kind of observing, seeing things as they come, not reacting to them, not responding, just grace. So this is the process of allowing. And I know I've given you this little mantra before, but this is what you're going to do to start to be in the process of moving through the emotion. Breathe, relax, feel, watch, allow. This was the mantra that they taught at Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health. And, you know, I've been studying the witness since I learned this, you know, 20 years ago. I learned about the breath, but then I really learned about that witness consciousness. So this is where you pull yourself even further into this place observer of the observer. You really open up your consciousness to see into like the inner workings of how an emotion, how these sensations can move through you. So each one of those words, you have a breath. Breathe, inhale, relax. Each breath, feel, really feel into the sensation. Watch, see what's happening from the outside. And then allow with grace. Doesn't that feel better than clenching your teeth and your fists and running the other way and trying to frantically look for something to distract you or getting mad or frustrated? This seriously takes a minute. You can do this in 1 minute. Now, if you have more time, I would suggest giving yourself the gift of more time to write all of this down. Then you're going to add on one other thing so that you can, you know, create a little bit more separation and that you don't feel isolated or alone. So it's another little mantra. This is a moment of frustration. Everyone experiences frustration. And you breathe in on that and then you exhale on everyone. And you can insert any word, any emotion that you're experiencing. So this is a moment of confusion. Everyone experiences confusion. This is a moment of sadness. Everyone experiences sadness. This is a moment of slowing down. Everyone slows down. Okay. And then that gives you even more space that you are not the emotion, but you're simply just experiencing the emotion. Now, to get you to this place to actually do this work, because this is the action, this interruption is an action. Now, we know our thoughts create our actions, so you have to have a preceding thought that's going to even get you to this place. So it could look like, and you can figure out what your thoughts are. I'm just taking it off the table this week. I'm just going to see. I have the tools. I'm just going to see what happens from a place of non-judgmental compassion. What would this situation look like without alcohol? And that's that question you're just going to ask yourself. And here's some thoughts. I can plan my life on purpose. You are an intentional creator. Every person has used their prefrontal cortex. Look at the world around you. I'm talking to you right now and I'm in my home and you're wherever you are and we're having this relationship, right? Like the human brain is so powerful that sometimes we're just not in practice of using that part of our brain on purpose because we've just been, there's also the efficiency of the subconscious and the lower brain, which helps us just do things, right? And so sometimes it's like, why would I like stretch my brain that far? It's because you want to experience the most out of life. When you use your prefrontal cortex, you get to have more awareness, more expansion, more experiences. And not that more is better, but why not, right? You've got ideas. The world needs them. You're magic. You are a very, very unique, divine being that is here on this planet to express and to live. So I can plan my life on purpose. Yes, you can. I can drink whenever I want. Right now, I'm choosing a different way. Life doesn't just happen to me. I choose my thoughts, feelings, and actions. I am capable of allowing my emotions with grace, compassion, and understanding. I choose to be present for my growth. I can want something and not have it. Alcohol does not solve for the problem alcohol has created. So much of the time, this idea of I can never have it again really hinders us. But I want you to know that you're a powerful creator. And so you can choose today not to have alcohol. And then you could choose tomorrow to have alcohol. So you make your choices on purpose. Alcohol isn't going anywhere, right? But every day your habit is getting stronger. You're strengthening your habit every day by not looking at it. So today's the day. It's a perfectly beautiful, magical day to use this tool, your intention, and then your beautiful body with all of its thoughts, all of its feelings, and its physicality to create magic, right? This is the process of alchemy. We infuse our intention, and your intention might be curiosity. What's possible? You know, for a long time, I just decided to look at it kind of as an experiment, like a science experiment. And I'm sure you guys have heard me say this thought, but it was one of my favorite thoughts is I know what my life looks like with alcohol. What's possible without it? Like I know very well, I could tell you exactly what was going to happen with alcohol. There was no new surprises, but I also knew I was capable of so much more. And I had so many goals and dreams that alcohol was crushing because it was just keeping my confidence down. I couldn't commit to myself. I didn't trust myself. And then I used this process and then everything changed. And I next leveled my business. I'm having more intimate relationships with my family. And then I'm using this process to solve other problems. So I am pausing during transitions. One of the kind of a bad habit that I had gotten into, and you guys may have heard me talking about it, was calling Matthew a lot, like during the day, especially during quarantine. And that's not a bad thing, but it kind of was getting to be like kind of a habit that I wasn't into. I was interrupting his day at work. I was interrupting my day at work. So I use this process. Okay, when are the normal times that I do this? What are my triggers for wanting to pick up that phone? I want to tell Matthew this. Like, that's my thought, you know, innocent. I don't actually know I'm thinking it. So I had to dig a little bit deeper. I want to talk to Matthew. I want to tell him about this, or I want to tell someone about this, right? And so I just noticed it was in these transition times between ending a call, starting a new thing, maybe going to take a break, having lunch, or Emmett and I would get home from doing a little out, a little outing. And so I just watched it. And then I actually started to use that mantra. This is a moment of transition. Everyone experiences transition. This is a moment of excitement. Everyone experiences excitement. And, you know, then asking, going a little bit deeper is, what do I really want? What's the result that I really want from this? Validation, confirmation, just to share. I can share later, you know, that thought that right now I'm just choosing a different way. And this moment is complete for right now. We'll have something to share later when he gets home. So it's just being honest about it. Who cares? It's fine. It wasn't serving our goals. And so I had a little bit of drama about it because I wasn't really liking it. But instead of really trying to solve the problem with a new thought and a real understanding of where the trigger came from, I just kept creating more drama around it. But now, because I did some more investigation and I thought and I wrote it down and I paid attention and I stepped into the witness, now I'm able to solve that. And you know, if I have an impulse and I call, then I can just look back and say, so now what? Am I gonna perpetuate that by calling five more times and freaking out? No, I'm going to assess the situation. So really quickly again, I just wanted to go through the four steps for interrupting a craving. So beforehand, you're gonna write down all of your normal triggers that you can think of and all of the reasons why you desire alcohol, just so you can kind of start to have those thoughts from the subconscious coming to light. Because really those are just excuses. They're not facts. You don't have to drink. So the trigger to become aware of the normal circumstances and when your brain will actually expect this reward. Number two is to get curious about what the specific thought was, why you're desiring this. I deserve this. I'm stressed. Number three, what is the emotion and the feeling? So I guess saying that you're stressed, that would really be the emotion. You know, I had a hard day and then stress is the emotion. Okay, what are the sensations in your body? Pause. That's the moment when you dive in. Growth through grace, growing through grace. So just think about grace. What does that invoke for you? Maybe you have a better word for yourself, right? Breathe, relax, feel, watch, allow. And I'm going to put this in the show notes for you. So you just slow down, tune into the witness. This is a moment of frustration. Everyone experiences frustration. This is a moment of stress. Everyone experiences stress. And if you can't figure out what your emotion is, ask yourself, what would this situation look like without alcohol? How would I feel right now without alcohol? And then use that emotion. You guys are so wonderful. You're so magical. You're so powerful. I want you guys to think and just take a moment to reflect, even on this last week, over the weekend. What did you do? What did you create? What did you make? Step into that place of that intentional, that powerful creator, and remind yourself that anything is possible. We have to reflect on all the things we have done to build our belief a little bit more about that something new, even a bigger belief, is possible for the future. We spend so much time dwelling on the past and then thinking, you know, like remembering the alcohol was better than it was, just because the brain simply wants to stay efficient. That's all. But the future is yours. So I always tell my clients, if you're going to create a story about the future, create the best one. If the story is yet untold and this moment is literally all you have, why would you create the worst case scenario? And we do it because we have a human mind and we step into that place that's familiar and comfortable. And so we don't want to step out of that. But by doing this process of growing through grace, you will start to know and trust yourself that an emotion can't hurt you. And then it's actually not that bad. And like, you can get really interested and curious about it. So shifting your perspective about curiosity, what's possible? I've never done this before, right? We think that we're being so rebellious and, you know, being these like adventurers and explorers when we're drinking, but we know what that is. That's familiar. And there's nothing that has gone wrong right now. You're here and the time is now. So if you haven't, I would love if you would pop onto iTunes and leave a 5-star review for the show, because it is helping so many more women just like you find this content. And I have people that tell me they have quit drinking just from listening to the show. Then I have people that come work with me one-on-one and they really next level this and take all of that energy and put it into their next level goals as well, because they really want to step up their game, right? They know it's time. They just want that accountability and support. So if you leave me a review, then more people can find it. And it just means so much to me that you're here and that we can create and make change in the world from a place of possibility, you know. And it's really interesting to think that all of the stories that we've been told aren't really true. Like, this story about alcohol is probably a story that was impressed upon you from the day you were born. I know it was for me. And there's no blame, there's no shame, but they, you know, the people that introduced it into my life or told me the story was the story that they were told too. And so it is a serious thing. It wreaks havoc on many, many lives. And for you right now, it is limiting you from possibility of where you want to go and the future. And there's no shame around it. I'm here to tell you, you are not alone. There are many of amazing, wonderful beings in this planet that have experienced the same exact struggle with this habit, that have been trying to solve for this problem. It's like, before you know it, you're here, but this is the solution. I can't wait to talk to you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye. If you're loving this podcast and you're ready to dive deeper, I want to invite you to check out my one-on-one coaching program. It's your opportunity to actually study and then apply these tools and principles to your life to get the results you want most, to stop drinking without pain, learn to trust yourself again, and then refocus your energy to reach that next level goal. Stop by my website, marywagstaffcoach.com, or find the scheduling link in the show notes. I can't wait to connect.